WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now, I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this: the result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Ah, yes, it is Monday, which means the Raw Post Show. Presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Have you heard of Amazon Prime? You can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You may have an Amazon account. Your parents may have an Amazon account. Your brother, your sister, mother, father, uncle, stepbrother, your fifth cousin, who knows? Just link their account to your account, and it's called Prime Gaming. You can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. I am Sorokin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Just get their permission first, because, you know, people are weird about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, happy birthday to Matt, because it's Matt's birthday.
Sup.
So everybody wish Matt a happy birthday in chat. So yeah, we are here to talk all about Monday Night Raw, and
So Retribution got contracts.
Okay.
So the Rebel Outlaws got.
Let's start there.
Contract, because that's how Raw started. They got the Rebel Outlaws have contracts.
Who made that decision?
I
want to know.
Don't know.
Like. Oh, hey, since you're showing up here and destroying everything, you might as well get paid for it. Like, who made that call? That makes no sense whatsoever. They're beating up your talent. They're destroying your property, and you're going to hire them and pay them to do it?
There's one explanation that I can think of, right? That someone is behind the Retribution.
Oh, somebody's definitely behind the Retribution. There's just too many inconsistencies at this point for it not to be a plot of some kind of takeover or coup or something. And there's a bigger thing at play here than just, we don't like WWE superstars because they're greedy, so we're here to take their money.
So, and that's where you need to lead, possibly. You follow the money trail.
Here comes the money!
There you go. I mean, if that's the case, then it all makes sense, because they came in when Shane came back.
And Shane runs the Raw Underground, which is a perfect place to get young, disgruntled talent from the Performance Center.
Like Dio, who was in Raw Underground at one point in the middle.
And Mia Yim, and Mercedes Martinez, and Dijak, and so many others.
So they're here to destroy WWE and rebuild it in the image of Retribution. They're all contracted WWE superstars, stories. And they've always said they were from the PC, so now they have main roster contracts. That's the deal.
Yeah, the working theory is that Retribution is not contracted Raw or SmackDown, or at the very beginning, even NXT talent. They're just a group of people that are coming in and messing things up. That's how the story was originally starting, and then it has now evolved to they have Raw-specific contracts.
Yeah, Lament. There's one person in that group that could have... Well, actually, two people. Two people could have a gripe. That's about it. Dominic? No. Mia? No. Mercedes? No. No.
Mercedes never really got a chance to do anything because they brought her up kind of fast.
Dio got his ass kicked on Raw by Brock Lesnar, and then she got sent back down to NXT or to the PC. And then there's Shane Thorne, who just, well.
Yeah, Shane Thorne kind of has a really big ass gripe. Like, he, yeah, just because he got screwed really hard.
So
by injuries and by his partner leaving.
Yeah. So the goal of the night is they're going to fight the Hurt Business babyface question mark.
Yeah. This was the other
in the main event of Raw.
And then the Hurt Business comes out and it's like, wait, are they good guys now? I'm confused because they're supposed to be bad guys, but they're technically on Pierce's payroll and they're there to manage Retribution specifically. But like, are they good guys now? Because then, like, later in the show, you have the Hurt Business facing Apollo Crews with Ricochet, and they're bad guys again.
Alexander facing Ricochet. Or Crews, not Hurt Business. Just giving the match.
Okay, fine. But you have them back as heels again when they're facing baby faces, which makes sense. But, like, there's just an... And then, at the end of the show, they're back to being good guys again. Like, what are they? What are they supposed
Shades
to be?
Shades of gray. Shades of gray. Throughout the night, they beat up people backstage and made comments and woo, grr, our retribution. Then they got to the main event and they're out there fighting and we learn that they got some names. At least three of them have some names. Dio Madden is Mace. Dominik Dijakovic is now T-Bar. And I would assume Shane Thorne is Slapjack.
Why Slapjack?
I don't
Why
know.
Slapjack?
Why T-Bar?
Why? I mean, T-Bar sounds at least, like, a little imposing, but Slapjack? Like, what? To Echo LeMans, WTF.
So,
like, what?
So, you know those things where they give you, you take your first letter of your name and the month you were born in memes?
Uh-huh.
I can't wait for the memes. What is your Retribution name?
Oh, God. We also need, discuss. It's coming. It's so coming. It'll be here tomorrow if it's not out there already. We need to also discuss the appearance and look of said Retribution. Because, okay.
Bane.
Straight up Bane. Just straight up Bane. I will give them credit where credit is due. Okay? They're trying something. They're making moves with it. They're trying to generate interest around it. They're trying to get people to talk about it, which is a success because we're sitting here and we're talking about it. We're making fun of it, but we're still taking the time to talk about it. So in that effort, it is successful. And they did unmask some of them partially. They had the Bane masks on and they had some weird makeup choices going on. And they gave them names, weird names. I don't know why they can't have their normal names unless until the masks comes off and then it's, oh my god, it's Mia Yim.
Oh my god.
The blue hair wasn't a dead giveaway.
The blue hair, the eyes, nothing could give her away. At least Mercedes, either she shortened her hair or had her hair tucked in a little bit.
I think she maybe cut her hair.
Yeah, she shortened her hair for sure.
And she looked really good, but it's like even...
But you,
like,
knew,
the guy,
you knew who
it was a little bit easier, but even Dio, it was like, you could tell it was like Dio.
Oh my god,
it's
his braids. Like, they're a giveaway. You're not hiding anything.
Yeah, it's like, if you're going to do it, just do it, okay? You're going to unmask them. Just unmask them.
Or...
Don't overcomplicate this shit, right?
Or the talent has to commit to a different look, like Dominik did, because he shaved his head and put lines on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, if you're going to do the thing...
Oh, he looked like the dude from, what was the tag team in WWE with the red and black gear? Victor and Connor, the Ascension. He was Ascension with the Bane mask in the face.
Actually, didn't Ascension have masks like that at one point? Maybe? I don't know.
Anyway
sidetrack.
Sidetrack.
Ash, I get that, but it still sounds really stupid.
It doesn't matter what it means. They're dumb names.
It's when you hear the name Slapjack, you think of something else.
Also, Slapjack is not a main event name. T-Bar. Oh my god. It's T-Bar versus The Rock at the main event of WrestleMania. No. Sorry.
I mean, the only really decent one is Mace. Like, that's a decent-ish one. But yeah, it's just, it's like, you know what? I would have preferred that they didn't have names for a while. Like, you didn't need to do the unmasking and the names at the same time. You could have done the unmasking and then for a couple of weeks, we don't know their identities, even though we totally know their identities. But I feel like they did it this way because people had guessed already who was in it. And people had already known who the core group was because they just did not do a good enough job of. And I shouldn't say that they didn't do a good enough job. They did a good job of covering people up, but the internet is the internet, and the internet is going to figure this shit out.
But also, it's kind of obvious because we know people's looks.
Yeah, yeah. And again, they did not commit to the full send change of look. That's the thing, is it's like the internet. And that's the thing, is they're fighting the internet, right? They know the internet's going to figure it out. Which and is, I don't know if which, that was just.
Which is why they have contracts now instead of just their mystery.
But it's, I'm not sure if that's like naivete on their part. I'm not sure if that's cockiness on their part. I'm not sure if it's just they don't care. But it's like there was an effort made at one point to keep the members of Retribution relatively secret and not have people figure out who it was. And then gradually it sort of slacked off. And it was like, well, we don't really care if people figure it out. And maybe they wanted people to figure it out. It's some deep level conspiracy theory bullshit that I'm going into. But basically at some point, the level of care for the internet to not figure it out stopped being taken. And this is, time and time again, I feel like this is WWE's fault in the fact that they misjudge on what the internet's going to do. There are people out there who just live for this shit, who live to figure this out, who live to hack into, like, back when Fortnite was at its height, would hack into Fortnite, find the files, and find out what was coming next. Like, there are people that's what they do. That's what they live for.
Here's the thing. You could stick with what they're doing right now on Friday Night SmackDown with the mysterious Vixen. They're screen capping it, and they're picking out, oh my god, they forgot to cover up Carmella's tattoo.
Don't get me started on that.
I'm not. I'm just pointing it out. Like, that's the internet. They will find a little, if something's not right, they'll find it.
Oh yeah, every time. And like I said, I don't know if it's just WWE doesn't care and they're just gonna let it happen. I'm not sure if they've given up, or if they're out of touch with what the fan base is capable of, that there's still some way that they feel like, yes, they can pull the wool over our eyes. And they have on occasion, especially now, been able to pull the wool over our eyes because it's a much tighter ship, right? Like, leaks are not happening like they used to, because there aren't as many people there, and the people that are there are the trusted core that are not going to spread anything.
The only leaks that are coming out are leaks WWE is putting out.
Yeah. So,
like, when they wanted Retribution to be known, they leaked it to the internet.
I still feel like that was a stupid-ass move.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, it got us talking about, hey, what's going to happen on Raw, and then they just crap the bed with it on that night with what they did. Like, if they had an exciting angle to kick it off, I would have been okay if they leaked it, but they were just throwing our things around backstage and shaking cameras.
Yeah, can we stop with the shaking cameras?
It's awful. It's like, it sucks.
And I hate to criticize it. Like, I really hate sitting here and making fun of it and talking shit about it, because they're working really hard on it, right? And they're doing it for our entertainment. And I get that. And I respect that. And I'm not trying to disrespect anybody that's involved in this, because that's certainly not my intention. But there's just, it's like, this feels like this has gone so far off the rails. And I think even they've sort of recognized with this that they've maybe waited a little bit too long to do this. And I think they're recognizing that people are losing interest in it. People don't really care. People think it's stupid. And so they're doing what they can to generate interest in it. And to their credit, it worked. You take the hoods and the masks off, and we have the Bane stuff and the makeup, and they're running around destroying everything, and they mysteriously get signed to Raw contracts. And, you know, well, who's responsible for that? Who made that choice? You know, because it certainly wasn't Pierce who made that decision. Who's the only other person that could really be an authority figure on Raw? Well, that would be Shane McMahon. He would have the power to be able to sign people. So it's like, it could all link back. You also had little teasers throughout the night with, like, Kevin Owens, you know, where we had a little flash of things going dark for a second before something else happened, where it's like, oh, is it Retribution? No, it's not. It's Aleister Black. But still. And then at the end of the show, you had Randy Orton show up in the midst of the chaos where Retribution in the locker room are fighting. And out of nowhere, Randy Orton comes in, RKO's Drew McIntyre, and mysteriously, Retribution disappears right after Randy hits the RKO.
Well, to be fair, you had other people fighting them off and then just retreated.
But it's interesting that they retreated after Randy hit the RKO, don't you think?
That we saw, because that's what we saw. They may have been retreating beforehand.
They may have been retreating beforehand, but again, what they wanted us to see is Randy hitting the RKO and Retribution retreating once he hit it. And Randy and Shane are known to have a past together. Kevin Owens and Shane are known to have a past together. You want to know what else is suspicious about it? Samoa Joe was very conspicuous in his absence. Hadn't been there for 2 weeks. And yes, I understand. I'm sure he's actually dealing with stuff at home because he lives in California and there's a very bad situation going on out there. But in storyline, he could also be a part of Retribution. And honestly, if you have Samoa Joe leading Retribution, you have my attention back. Because let's go.
Because he's the guy who cut the promos.
Yeah.
So you mentioned a few things in this rundown. One, Randy's back. He interfered in the Keith Lee, Drew McIntyre match.
Which was okay. I mean, it wasn't wonderful in my opinion. I feel like they've had a better match before because when they're in NXT.
Because they're not trying. I don't think they ever fought NXT, did they? No.
Didn't they? No.
No.
Well, that's what I said. Maybe I just imagined them having a match in NXT and it was really good.
Yeah, you expect it to be good. Because they're not trying right now. They're not. Keith Lee and Drew McIntyre are not trying to have a match because they're both babyfaces and a dual babyface match is not the greatest. Number one. Two, when you don't have a clean, decisive finish, it just blows. The match just blows. So Randy came in and, you know, caused this chaos. He's back.
Because we should also...
He has a pay-per-view match on Sunday.
Yeah, this is the go-home for a pay-per-view on Sunday.
Yeah, so afterwards, Randy cut a pretty solid promo. I mean, you know, it's Randy Orton. He talked about, you know, he was in the ambulance and he realized what had happened to Edge and Christian and Shawn and Big Show and Rick and Drew after he did what he did.
And he's not sorry for it.
He's not sorry for it. And he's going to make sure he puts Drew in an ambulance on Sunday, which is fine. Which is fine. So you mentioned also Kevin Owens, right?
The Saints coach is going to get fined. So is the Raiders coach. They're not wearing masks. Anyway, I'm sorry. Continue.
Yeah, three coaches got fined. So Kevin Owens had the KO show with Shane McMahon as the guest. They had some pleasantries and, you know, what's going on? Huh? Something's up. Shane brings out Dabo Kato, and Kevin and Dabo get eye to eye. Kevin's still mad about what happened in the underground. Kevin then slapped Dabo Kato and then brought out his big beefy man and Braun Strowman. And they were going to go at it, but Shane told him to wait for the underground. So as they're waiting for the underground, Aleister Black shows up and just destroys Kevin Owens' balls.
Poor Kevin. I hope he has ice. This was good.
It hyped the underground match.
This is my issue. And it's not even really an issue. It's just for me. So the underground is supposed to be this unsanctioned fighting thing where it has this air of it's illegal fighting, right? It's Fight Club. It's not legitimized in any way, shape, or form. There just happens to be people there with cameras that are filming this and broadcasting it on national television. It's to the point that they have a bouncer that they don't let anybody in that's not supposed to be there, right? Because there is that level of illegality, I could speak, that hangs over it.
But Shane McMahon's a promoter, as we were told tonight, so he's out there promoting a fight.
But I'm not sure, like, them adding legitimacy to it. That's my problem, is it's like, it's great, because you have this illegitimate thing going on in the center of a legitimate show, and then you make it legit because you bring Shane and Dabo Kato out to promote the match. Like, it's, oh yeah, this is completely normal. Yeah, we totally have unsanctioned fights all the time, and we totally film them all the time. This happens everywhere. It's fine. Like, this is like one step above legal bar fighting, basically. And we're just going to legitimize it, because why the hell not? Right? Like, why the hell not? I just sat there, and I was like, I don't have a problem with it, but I do have a problem with it. Because, yeah, you should promote the match between Dabba Kato and Braun Strowman. You should absolutely do it. But I kind of almost wish that they'd had Kevin go to the underground and do the interview in the underground. And they meet in, like, this dark, seedy-looking sort of space where they're going to promote the match, right? Or they meet in the ring of the underground as it's setting up. You don't have Shane and Dabba Kato come out to the Monday Night Raw main ring and do the interview in the main ring. And I think that was my problem, was it's like, Kevin didn't go to them, they came to Kevin. And it should have been the other way around, for me. That's what I feel like. It should have been like this, just Kevin rolls up with a camera crew and some microphones, and they just do the thing.
And you know how you build a new star? Have them lose to Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Braun Strowman, but still.
They have to give Braun back some legitimacy, but they had a thing going with Dabba Kato.
And they just kind of...
And, yeah, you just kind of sort of, like, cut his balls off right there.
And it's not a wrestling match he lost. He lost a fight.
It's a fight. Yeah, that's a fight.
There was other underground action. It really didn't matter. Other than we found out that whoever Brianna Brandy is, she got tried to interview Dabo and then Strowman.
Yeah, what the hell was that? Where Strowman's standing at ringside getting ready to go. She's standing next to him. Shane walks up. Braun yells at Shane, scares the shit out of her. And then Shane just real all super casual is like, oh, here you go. Hands her the mic. He's like, interview him. And she's like, okay. Sticks a mic in his face. Like, what was that?
Yeah.
What?
So, the thing. So we need to talk about one other thing. We have to talk about women. Lana is a trooper. 2 weeks in a row, she's gotten put through a table.
Poor Lana, man. I feel bad for her.
Miro signs a contract, and boy, oh boy, is Lana getting hardcore. He put it on Twitter. Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax beat Natty and Lana in a minute, setting up the title match against the Riot Squad on Sunday.
Me thinks their push is over.
Me thinks so, too.
And they're pushing the Riot Squad, and they're going to push Shayna and Nia. And there you go.
Mm-hmm. The tag champs were at ringside as the Street Profits. As Seth Rollins and Murphy battled Angel Garza and Andrade and versus Dominic Mysterio and Humberto Carrillo for a shot at the tag team titles of the Clash of the Champions. The team that was brawling backstage won last week. Andrade and Angel Garza. Yeah,
they're going to implode.
Can't look forward to that match again.
They're going to implode on each other. Angel's going to cost.
Yeah.
The
match. I mean, it better lead to something. So we're backstage, and Asuka's being interviewed, and she's asked whether Mickey James or Zelina are the bigger threats to her title reign, and Asuka starts talking, but then she's interrupted by Billy Kay. Payne and Royce then showed up, and because Billy wants a shot, but then maybe Payne, hey, I'm Payne Royce, remember me? You know, maybe I should get that shot. Right, Billy? And she agreed and said, yeah, because we're, you know, doesn't mean since we're not a tag team anymore, doesn't mean we're still not friends, and we have each other's back. Right? I mean, Billy said that.
Peyton didn't agree with her.
Peyton just sort of went, okay. And she got into a match with Asuka later in the show. Before we get to that, Zelina Vega, though, is your number one contender. Beating Mickey James.
Asuka versus Zelina? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we had Asuka and Peyton. Not a ton of match. Asuka won.
Poor Peyton. This was decent for what it was, but Peyton didn't really get an entrance. They just sort of like...
She had Billy at ring. She had Billy with her. I mean, it just, you know, they're not the Iconics. They're just friends who support each other because they're now realizing that breaking them up was dumb.
Yeah.
But Peyton has an ego now.
And in the world of 2020, I'm going to cut in. One, that man looks like he has underwear on his head. Two, the Raiders beat the Saints Vegas.
In Vegas. So there's a lot of we've talked not so kindly about a few things. We need to talk a little bit kind of what I thought was the best thing on the show, and other people will disagree, and that's your opinion. Because I wanted them to go somewhere, and Lindsay did too. So Seth Rollins, with a smile on his face, comes to the ring with a large envelope in his hand. Seth is out here. He thought he said he has had the Mysterios and family's number, and thought he was going to go through with their endless tour. He thought he was done going through the tormenting. He said something bothered him about the Mysterio family. He pulls up a picture on the screen of the Mysterio family. He talks about how there's a difference in size between Ray and Dominic, and He had the results of an investigation that he paid for. He invited the Mysterios out, so the Mysterios all come out. Rey said they are tired of Seth's mind games and they intend to give him the beating just like they gave to Murphy. Rollins said he's grown to respect the Mysterio family and what they stand for. He said he was inspired by the Mysterios and that they deserve the truth. He had DNA test results done, somehow. Rollins said he knew this had to be done, but times change and technology has improved. He said that they need to answer the question of whether Rey is truly Dominic's father, and we all go, we know it's Eddie Guerrero. There's no need for a DNA test. It's Eddie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, Seth's like, I had my own private investigation done, and I'm sitting here like, so you watch SmackDown from like 2005?
I mean, is that that's what it did.
Because... There's a precedent here. There was an entire storyline where Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio fought over Dominic Mysterio's parentage. We have known this man since he was a child.
So, Seth says the results were conclusive. Rey Mysterio, you're not the father. And he starts cackling. Rey asked if they really brought them out here for that. Rey said they went down the road before and it didn't work then. And it won't work now. Rollins says Rey might be onto something. He said he may have made a mistake. May not be that Dominic who isn't Rey's son, but maybe Aaliyah who's not Rey's daughter. Rollins said the paternity test is enough. He had concrete evidence to back it up, and they show Aaliyah checking on Murphy. Rollins said they didn't look like something a Mysterio would do. Rollins asked Aaliyah what was happening, and Rey said, "Don't talk to her. Talk to me." He said he already spoke to his daughter about it. He said he raised his daughter to be caring and compassionate, and told Rey to keep his. Could tell Rollins to keep his daughter's name out of his mouth. Rey said, Aaliyah's 19. She's naive and knows nothing about our world. Aaliyah's look went,
what?
Excuse me? And she walked off.
They're going for the daughter. They're going for the daughter.
Rollins said he was sorry. He came out here to inform not to drive a wedge in the Mysterio family. He said that happens sometimes, even to a strong family as the Mysterios. I'm sure it's probably happened to some of you and your families. I'm sorry. He walked up the ramp, stopped, and smirked. But before we comment, we continue. Backstage, Aaliyah told Rey that she's old enough to speak for herself and she doesn't know Seth Rollins like he does. Rey said she doesn't know Seth like he does and doesn't want her planting ideas in her head. Aaliyah said it's all too much for her and at the end of the day, she's just a naive 19-year-old girl. Aaliyah then stormed away.
Okay, wait. Where's my emergency button? Where's my emergency button? She faked tasks! She faked tasks! She didn't do keys! Can we say that somebody's playing somebody and Aaliyah may not be 100% with her family on this?
I mean...
Could Buddy and Seth have lured her over to the dark side?
Dum dum dum.
I mean, honestly, I would be on board for that. I would be fine with that. It would be... I've been waiting for, like, Seth to get one of the kids. And originally I thought it was going to be Dominic.
But it wasn't Dominic. By the way...
But it wasn't Dominic.
By the way, before we continue, Dominic, you signed a WWE contract. Get shirts that don't make you look like you're a kid coming to work. Going to school, I should say. Because that shirt just was terrible.
He's really trying.
He needs better fitting clothing that just doesn't make him look 10.
He's so baby-faced. That's his problem. Like, he's just so young-looking. Because he is, right?
Yeah.
He's young.
Yeah.
And so the poor kid is trying to fight youth and just dressing like a 12-year-old to the point that he shows up to pay-per-views with a backpack. Like, and not to make fun of the backpack, because we all have, at least I have a backpack for work that I wear. But, like, it just was, like, it legit looked like his parents were bringing him to school that first show. But, yeah, Dominic's trying, but poor Dominic. He just, like, he's trying to look badass and strong, and he looks like he's 12. In the best way possible. But, going back to this, yeah, if you have her basically be the mole in the family, and she turns on her brother and her parents, one, that gives them a reason to extend the storyline out for another 3 months or so. Which, that's what we all want, I guess. But it adds a level of interest to it where she could have been feeding Seth the information this entire time because just miraculously or mysteriously, one day the sister just turned up. And she's been with them ever since. So the question is how long has she been a part of this and has she been helping Seth? And when did Seth get to her? That's, or when did Murphy get to her? Because again, this whole Seth Murphy thing is really weird. It's really inconsistent. I smell a rat, and I don't think this split is as hard as we think it is. And I think we're going to have a family reunion in the Rollins family very soon. And then we have the story of Ray and Dominic trying to get Aaliyah back because she joined a cult. Like you do.
So that was wrong.
I mean, it wasn't a bad show. I know we sat here, we just like pretty much just bashed shit out of it. And I feel awful that we bashed the shit out of it. But like, it wasn't a bad show. But what made it hard to watch for me was the inconsistencies in a lot of the storytelling. And I think part of that is due to the fact that they changed how they're writing the show this week. And they made some other additional tweaks and adjustments to the show. And so it could be that because those were made, the stories kind of changed a little bit, and that those inconsistencies can happen. But it just made it a little bit difficult to follow and watch, because again, you're sitting there and it's like the story up till now has been this, and now all of a sudden someone's a good guy, and then they're a bad guy, and then they're a good guy again. And
good, like, guy, bad guy, good guy, bad guy, good guy, bad guy, good guy, bad guy.
Make up your minds.
But I'll do it for us.
Let's do it.
Programming news. The Rack will not be live Thursday, but we will have a podcast for you previewing the Clash of Champions. Plus, other content coming soon, teased on Twitter earlier.
Yes, tune in. Listen, we have codes for things that we're going to preview and look at and review, so secret content coming soon.
If you follow Twitter, you know what the secret is. You gotta follow us at Wild Talk Radio.
And see the Joey chat.
Anyway. Saturday night, midnight, CBR, CBRLive.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com. Sorry, Brent. You're dead. It's not my fault. It's Jeffers' fault. Kill him. Sunday night, they'll review Clash of Champions, whenever it ends, on Wrestle Talk Radio. We'll be back Monday night for a Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern, at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can subscribe for free by hitting the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use credit card RocketSock and Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad. Hashtag epic partner.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lindsay Ward, LANSWRD.
So, well, Lindsay, I'm Mark. We'll see you Thursday. Podcast edition of The Rack. Right back here live Monday night for the Raw Post Show. Long day always on Wild Talk Radio Network. Right here at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTRLive.
WildTalkRadio.com.